There's so many things that this world seems to prefer beside him and instead of him. But I'll just tell you this, man.
You ought to be like the songwriter there and say, I'd rather have him than anything this old world has got today. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bible, please, this evening. Let's look in the Gospel of Luke. I want you to look in Luke's Gospel and go with me to chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5, a story that we know a little bit about. We've read and preached on before, so let's, if you will, look at that. Chapter number 5, begin with me, if you will, in verse number 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for your love and your grace and good mercy on us. And I pray now, add your blessings to the reading of your word, to the preaching of it tonight. Just help us to see you and all the things that you are doing and all the things that you want to accomplish in your word and in the lives of men. And I pray you'd speak to our hearts here tonight. I pray for the empowerment. I pray for the word of God to go forth as bread cast on the water. I pray that it'd feed the hungry. I pray that it'd bring conviction to those that need it. And Lord, we'll just thank you again for everything that you do for every one of us. For we ask it all tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. You're looking at this story. And as I say, I know we've all kind of seen it before. And, you know, I want to preach to you on this thought tonight. Just know that the Lord is in control. Just know that the Lord is in control. When you begin to look at these verses and you see the things that transpire here, and you just have to understand, man, that the Lord has full control. I mean, sometimes, you know, we want to kind of control things and we try to intervene. Matter of fact, a lot of us try to help God in things in our lives, don't we? We try to say, well, Lord, you know, I'd do it this way and I'd prefer it be done this way and I think this and I think that. I want to tell you something. He don't need any of our help. Now, most of the time, we don't understand what he's doing. And we sure can't figure out the way that he's going to do it because he does things so differently than what you and I would do. Me and Lynn was talking about the other day about this, about how that, you know, sometimes if it was me, I wouldn't have done it like that. I wouldn't have, you know, had Jesus born this way and born it that. I mean, and that's the way we are, you know, within ourselves. We would do it a different way. But can I tell you this? Man, God is still in control. And Jesus is just showing us really a picture of that here in this little setup, this frame of these words right here, and that, hey, this thing has got him in control of everything. All right? I want you to look at this. Now, this is a story, as I say, most of us probably familiar with it. And you see, as it begins, Jesus is preaching and teaching. Jesus has been going about doing some things and probably already at this time, probably we would see that Philip and Nathanael are probably the only men that are what we would say the called disciples of the Lord. He's got these two men. Now there's people following him. And there's people wanting to hear him. And that's the introduction that we have in this part of the story. It came to pass, it says, that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. So the picture is this. Jesus has been teaching and been preaching, and this is the early part of his ministry. And in doing this, crowds are beginning to gather. People are beginning to come follow after him. So Jesus is in his normal area. The Lake of Gennesaret is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. Okay? That's the same place, in case you're wondering, well, I've never heard of Gennesaret. Well, it's the same thing as the Sea of Galilee. Well, here they are, and this is the main area of Jesus and his ministry. So he is here in this area, and people are beginning to flock around him. And you kind of get the idea. It says that as they pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was by the Lake of Gennesaret. And it was almost like, you know, they're coming in closer, and there's gathering more, and they're pushing, and they're almost pushing Jesus into the edge of the sea. As the crowds are gathering and everybody's trying to get closer, everybody's trying to get in there and hear what he's got to say. So Jesus comes to this place where he sees these two ships that are there by the lake. And it says the fishermen that own these ships gone out of them, and they're washing their nets. They're through with their nightly toiling of fishing, and they're there washing their nets. They're getting things prepared to go let the nets dry and do whatever they do during the day, and then they're going to come back and go fishing again that night. But as they're there, Jesus sees that, and it says that he entered into one of those ships, and it was Simon's ship, and he prayed him that he'd just thrust out a little from the land. It said, and he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. He began to teach them. And, you know, you could probably understand that as far as he's got to get a little distance. And the water would help with the voice and the echoing and you know, kind of amplify, help him to be able to preach. So here he is preaching to this big crowd of people. And then there comes a place where the preaching ends. It said, now, in verse number 4, when he had left speaking, he got through with the preaching, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, you know, these guys are professional fishermen. Amen. Y'all know any of them professional fishermen? I mean, boy, professional fishermen's got some good stories, don't they? Well, these guys are a little different because it's more, I guess you would say, like commercial fishermen. They got nets and they're catching fish. But, you know, to think about these men as professional fishermen, they know what they're doing, right? They understand the ins and outs of that lake. They've been there. This is Peter and Andrew and John and James. This is their home territory. I mean, you ask some of these guys around here that do some of the fishing, and they know where their spots are. They know where the fish are at certain times of the year. They know what they're doing. And this was the same thing with these men right here. They knew what they're doing. As a matter of fact, verse number 5, Simon says, Master, we've toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. We fished, and there ain't no fish around here right now. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see what Jesus told him? Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, with an S on the end of it, right? Let down your nets. Don't just put out one. Let down your nets. And he said, well, we know what we're doing. We're the professional fishermen. And just because you've asked, I'm going to let down my net. And he does. And you notice what it says. And when he had done this, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. You know why their net broke? Because they didn't let down the nets. Had to call in the help, had to get the backup, and finally, you know, they get the fish. Well, I want you to just look at a few little thoughts about this whole incident and see what you and I can learn about the fact that the Lord is still in control. First of all, I want you to notice as the Lord is talking to Peter and what he says to him, as he lets the entire crowd know and lets everybody know that the Lord is still in control, okay? The first thing he does, I want you to notice the persuasion that comes from the Lord. I'm glad the Lord knows what he's doing, and he knows how to do it, he knows where to do it, and he knows when to do what he's doing. As I said, here's Peter and Andrew, his brother, and James and John, their cousins, and they're all in this fishing expedition together, and they are the professional fishermen. They have been used to catching them. They know where, they know when, they know how. They know all the ins and outs about fishing, except when the Lord comes around. I want you to know there's a persuasion. I want you to notice, first of all, that the Lord is in command of the situation. I mean, he's in control of the situation. He looks at Peter and he said, let's go, get out in the deep, let down your net, let's catch some fish. He's in control of the entire situation. Now, Peter doesn't seem to think so. Peter seems to think that he knows more. Can I tell you this? Sometimes me and you, again, think we know more than the Lord does. Do you know the Lord knows when he begins to speak, when he begins to command, when he begins to direct, you know what you need to do? You need to listen to him. Because he can control, he is in control, and he commands the situation as this situation comes about. I mean, here he is. He's in control, and he is commanding the situation. He is at the helm of this whole thing. You know, somebody would say this, well, Jesus, you're just a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? Hey, can I tell you, Jesus could look at them and say, I'm not just a carpenter. I'm the creator of all creation. I made the seas, I put the water in their places, and I put the fish to run in there. And I know a whole lot more about it than you think I do. Amen? Can I tell you, Jesus knows a whole lot more about our situations than we think he does. He knows who's lost. He knows who's saved. He knows who needs whatever they need. And again, he knows when, where, and how. He knows every bit of those things. And you and I don't even get that sometimes. I mean, as I say, sometimes we think, well, I'd do it this way. I'd do it like, well, Jesus says, gee, thanks. I don't need your help. Amen? I mean, in so many words, that's exactly what the Lord said to Job, wasn't it? He says there, and Job's, you know, bemoaned his day and cried about his fate and all upset about everything that's happened to him. And then finally, he just don't know what else to do. And God comes on the scene in a whirlwind, chapter number 38, and God begins to quiz Job and said, where were you when I created everything that is? Where were you when I set this whole world in motion, when I put this thing in orbit, when I put the water in place, when I put the stars in the sky, when I did every bit of the things? Where were you when that happened? Amen? I just want to ask you and me the same question. Who do we think we are sometimes in the way that we talk and try to command him? I'm telling you, the Lord is in command of the situation. Not only is he in control of the situation, you see that Jesus is in control of the seas and the creatures that are in it. Amen? Now you tell me. Peter says this. Peter looks at him, and Peter realizes who he is and what he done. But in verse number 5, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. I mean, listen. Peter, as I say, professional fisherman. Peter knows when to fish. Now, generally, in that day, the cooler water was in the evening. And I'd say same way with us, too, right? I know there's a lot of guys, they enjoy that night fishing stuff. They go out at night and they say, boy, you know, they really come up and all that. Well, a commercial fisherman, if they're closer to the surface and he's running his nets, he's going to catch more in the evening. And if you'll notice this, the Bible says that Peter looks at Jesus and he says, we have toiled. I mean, that word toil indicates hard labor. I mean, it's not something, we just didn't just throw our nets out there. We have really toiled, we've worked, we've cast, we've tried, we've labored, we've done. And brother, can I tell you something? That's what you and I do in our flesh, is we toil and we try and we push and we shove and we try to get it done, and we don't. Amen. So that's where Peter is. He's like, we've toiled all the night and don't have anything to show for it. Amen. Can I tell you, that's what will happen when you get into your own self and start trying to do God's business by yourself. The results will not be there until the Lord gives the increase. Amen. He's the only one that's going to give the increase. So here they were. They had toiled. But then he said to them, he said, here's what I want you to do. Let down your nets for a draught. And it says, well, nevertheless, at thy word. In verse number 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. What did they have to do? Well, they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. They got, so you know why? Because Jesus was in control of the sea and what's in it. He's in control of it. They didn't have control. They didn't have a catch. They didn't have it. They had labored. Oh, listen, friend, I'd rather sit back and let the Lord do what he does rather than me labor and toil and sweat and try and do all that kind of stuff. Brother, you better just let him do it. Amen. I mean, you might as well just let. I've seen people come to an altar and sweat and cry and moan and, you know, do all these things. And they're trying to bargain and they're trying to figure it out. Brother, all I can tell you is just talk to God and let him do it. He knows how to answer the need. Amen. So Jesus here is in command of the situation. He's in command of the seas. And not only that, thank God, aren't you glad he's in command of the supply? I mean, it says here that they had a great multitude of fishes. I don't know how many. We don't have, you know, later on when Jesus is on the shore and the men are out in the boat and they're fishing and they come in. It said they dragged their net in and they had 153 fish. Now, I'm just supposing that's probably, I'm supposing it's a big number. I don't know. 153 sounds like a lot to me. Amen. I mean, if you fish like Larry Dotson, I mean, he gets that in about the first 10 minutes, right, Larry? When you go fish, you get about that many, amen, huh? You throw that many back, right? But listen, hey, 153, that'd be a lot of fish. I don't think I've ever been on any kind of trip like that where we caught together 153. Here they are dragging in that many, and here they've got so many that their nets break. Their nets, aren't you glad God didn't control the supply? Peter, how'd you do on supplying? Got a big fat zero. When Jesus takes over, when you realize he's the one in command, then brother, here comes the supply. So I just want you to see that. The persuasion of the Lord. The Lord has persuaded Peter and says, here's what you need to do. And you know what you and I need to do when the Lord starts talking? You need to start listening. Amen. You need to start listening, okay? Not only this, I want you to see that you can look at this and think about this as a payment for the loan of the boat. Now, some folks will say, well, you know, why did the Lord do this for Peter? Well, I understand there's a lesson in it, but I think the Lord just wanted to bless him for just to show us how that he could provide a blessing in the lives of us. I mean, here's the Lord, and he says three things to Peter, if you'll notice. He says three things. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He says, I want you to, first of all, launch out. Can I tell you, boy, the Lord wants me and you to launch out sometimes. I want you to get away from whatever you think and get away from your toil and your labor and your to launch out. Get out into the deep. Peter's sitting there thinking the whole time, it's no use. I've already tried it. It didn't work. It's not going to work. But can I tell you, when the Lord says launch out, go ahead and do it, amen. When the Lord says launch out. And then the Lord said to him, let down your nets. Let them down. Well, we fished all night. Ain't caught nothing. Ain't got a thing to show for it. But nevertheless, hey, you know what the third thing I guess Jesus could have said is, load up because you're about to get there. Amen. You're about to get the load of fish. Here is Peter and Andrew, his brother, and James and John, as I say, they're cousins, and here they are. Jesus makes a request to them. He said, here's what I want you to do. Thank God, when the Lord begins to request some things of you, go ahead and do what the Lord says to do. Amen. I mean, listen, you know what you need to be? You and I need to just do what he says do. You remember what? Over in John chapter number 2, Jesus and his mom and some of his disciples are there at a wedding, and they have run out of wine, and Jesus' mom looks at him. She said, they're out of wine. And Jesus said, well, this is not the time. But Jesus' mom turns around, looks at the servants and says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Can I tell you, when the Lord says something to you, just do it. Just do it. I mean, the Lord may be saying something to you, and I'm telling you, your best response is just to, well, we sang, trust and obey. That's the best thing you can do, is just trust him and be obedient under the word of God. Just trust and obey. So the request was made, and the response came from Peter. As I said, he said, well, we've already tried. Now, your response should just be, as I said, just do it. Just do it. Just launch out, let them down, and load it up. And you know what? When you get there, you'll find that the Lord will give you the reward that he is pleased with. I mean, here they are. They have loaded up their net. Now, look, they're fishermen. You know how they make a living? By getting fish. I mean, that's it. That's the point of the whole exercise, right? I mean, you see them here, and they're out of their boats. They're washing their nets. They're trying to get ready because last night was a failure. Last night was misery. Last night was very disappointing, and they're getting ready. They're saying, we're going to have to do it again. Don't know how it's going to go. But can I tell you, when you'll just listen to the master, thank God, you'll find out he's still in control of everything. Amen? So here they are. They've listened, and Jesus begins to give them the payment for the things where they have been laboring. Jesus said, I want to borrow your boat. And Peter allowed him to do that. And I'm going to tell you, Peter heard the word of God. Now, I don't know. We're never told what Jesus was preaching or teaching or saying. Don't have any clue. It's not in any of the Gospels, nothing as far as this particular incident. But I believe there's something in there about having faith. I believe there's something in there about believing God. I believe there was something in there about being obedient and listening and following and keeping the word of God. I believe that was all in there somewhere. And brother, Peter is discouraged and disappointed and let down and out. And man, he don't know what to do. But can I tell you, when you get in that shape, just go ahead and listen and trust God anyway. Amen. So he finally does what the Lord says. And the Lord rewards him in, as I say, giving him a payment for the lending him that boat and letting him get on that and preach and teach. But really, here's what I want you to see more than anything is the promise that we can learn through this lesson. The promise that we can learn. Hey, the promise is this. The Lord knows what he's doing. You and I just need to listen to him. The Lord knows what he's doing. You and I just need to listen to him. Amen? So I want you to see, here's Peter. And I just listen to this. Look there in verse number 4, or verse number 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, taking nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ship, so that they began to sink. Listen, when Peter saw it, Peter saw what the Lord was doing. Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For, listen, verse number 9 tells us why he did that. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Peter just saw something, and it was overwhelming to his understanding. Peter was overwhelmed. Peter was blown away by what he had just seen the Lord do. And you know what that did to him? It brought him into a place. You see what it said? That he fell down at Jesus' knees and he began to cry, began to ask him, began to say to him, he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You say, well, what's wrong with him? The same thing that would be wrong with me and you. When we come into the presence of the Lord and we really see who he is, I believe you and I would have that same type reaction. Do you know what your Bible tells you about that? Hey, the Bible tells us, here's Moses again out in the wilderness, and he sees that bush burning. He goes over and he begins to look at that bush, and he hears a voice out of it, and Moses is like, "Who am I that God should talk to me?" And he begins this conversation with the Lord. And the Lord said, "I want you to do this." And, you know, tells him things. And he said, "I can't do it, Lord. I can't speak, and I'm nobody, and they won't believe me. And I murdered a guy." And God said, "I know every bit of that. I know everything that you can throw up as an excuse, but I want to change your life." And from that moment on, God made a difference in his life. He was overwhelmed. Hey, can I tell you somebody else that got overwhelmed? The Bible says that Isaiah stepped in, as Isaiah chapter number 6, he stepped into the throne room of God. He was it says in the year that King Uzziah died, he had a vision. "I saw the Lord." I mean, Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a man of God. Isaiah was the man in Israel, if you will. But when he saw the Lord, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts." I mean, he saw something, and it buckled his knee. He said, "Whoa." I mean, he was in a miserable shape. You remember what happened to John? John's on the Isle of Patmos, and when John sees the Lord, John fell at his feet as dead. He said, "I turned around and I saw him and I heard his voice and I saw his eyes and I saw his hair and I saw his countenance and all this glow and all this stuff," and he just fell down before him. He said, "I fell as dead." And the Lord told him, "Fear not." Amen. What I'm saying is, anybody that comes into a situation like this, when you really see who he is, it will do something to you. It will absolutely do something to every one of us. When you see the Lord, when you get to see him in that splendor, Peter's heard him, and Peter's probably been around him before this. There's other incidences where you realize that Peter's talked to him. But now, there's a confrontation that goes on, and Peter is overwhelmed. I mean, man, he just falls before the Lord. He said, "Depart from me." Well, aren't you glad the Lord didn't? Amen? I mean, as I say, there's Isaiah, "Woe is me." And John, he said, "I fell down like a dead man." And I mean, just other characters through the Old Testament. Samson's mother and daddy, when they saw the Lord's angel come and begin to speak to them about what kind of man Samson was going to be, the Bible said that the daddy looked at the mama and he said, "I guess we better get ready to die because we've seen the Lord." I mean, they realized, hey, this is a special thing, that if the Lord reveals himself, you and I, there's not very many people those things happen to. Can I tell you, when you really see him, when he comes to visit you, when there's really that connection, brother, it'll make a tremendous impact in every one of our lives. And you know what the proof of that is? Your salvation. When you got saved, you met him. You met him. You remember, Paul met him out on the road. And what did it do? It knocked him down to the ground. It put him on his face. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." He said, you've been fighting. You've been against me. You've been trying. And he said, "And I got you now." What did he do? He looked up and said, "Lord, what do you have me do? What have I got to do?" I'm telling you, you'll be in the same sense, or maybe it's more so, as Peter was, you'll be overwhelmed. I mean, Peter fell down. And he said, depart from me. He understood who, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He knew who he was. He knew what the situation was. He knew the score. Can I tell you, when you really have a head on and you meet Jesus, you'll know who you are and you'll know who he is. Amen? He won't know about you. Well, I might have to go see the preacher and see if he can. Hey, the preacher don't have to explain it to you. Yeah, mom and daddy don't have to explain it to you. Ain't nobody got to tell you about it. You met him for yourself, amen. And you know, amen. Like that song we sing sometimes, I know it, nobody had to, I was there when it happened, so I guess I'll know, amen. Hey, that's the way that it ought to be when you meet him head on. And that's the way that these things ought to be, amen. We ought to be seeing him. We ought to be there head on. I mean, listen, here's Peter. First of all, we can say that Peter was overcome. Second of all, we can see that Peter has and finds himself finding out his ordained purpose in life. Jesus begins to speak to him again, and he says, Lord, you know, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He was astonished. Everybody that's there with him, they were all astonished because they saw what they saw, okay? The draught of the fishes, which was taken. And it said, and so also was James, John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with him. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Peter just found out what his ordained purpose in life was going to be about. Before this, Peter said, I'm catching fish, and I got to let them die, and I got to take them and sell them to men. But now, you know what Jesus says? I want you to catch some dead men, and let's find them coming back to life. Amen. What I'm going to do for you and what I'm going to give to you and what's going to happen because of you is you're going to find dead men, but we're going to bring them back to life. Amen. Woo. Oh, Peter had been messing with fish. He caught a live fish, but you know what? You ever done that? I've been with my brother in a boat sometimes. You get in a boat and you throw them in that live well, but I've seen them die in the live well. Amen. They're supposed to be alive, but I've seen them die. And you know what? You get them out of that water, or you transfer them, or you take them, or whatever, and these guys, commercial fishermen, they're going to have to get them to somebody. They're probably all going to die somewhere along the line. Now, I don't know about y'all. I ain't eating no live fish. Somebody say, amen right there. I mean, we even afraid of that old sushi stuff, ain't we? Amen. I don't want none of that. Amen. That's raw. It. I don't know. It might be alive still. I don't know. But I ain't eating none of it. Amen. What I'm telling you is, I'm telling you, the Lord let him see dead fish. I mean, live fish, turn them dead fish and sell them. But now he said, I'm going to get you to catch dead men, and we're going to make them alive. And they're going to come to life because of the preaching of the gospel, because of the carrying of these words that you've just heard. I'm going to change things, and this is the ordained purpose of your life. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't let this shake you up. Don't let this come in, cause you any problem. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Amen? I mean, he said, this is going to be a game changer. Listen. And I want you to see this last of all. Peter realizes now that his life is never going to be ordinary again. Listen to what it says in verse number 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all. I just find this a little bit of an amazing thing. Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John, well, they're in the business of catching fish, right? I mean, to me, that's how they make a living. I mean, you catch fish, you sell them, and you make money, and you pay your bills, and you live your life. Well, that's what they were used to doing. They had probably, and I say probably, I would imagine, this is the largest catch of fish they ever had in their life. And could you imagine? Maybe they're sitting there, and I don't know, Andrew's over. Let me get out the calculator. That's, you know, so many fish. And, amen. John's and James over there going, cha-ching, cha-ching. Well, we got some, man. We got money. The largest load of fish. And you know what? When they come to land, after they have this meeting and this head-on with Jesus, it doesn't mean anything to them. It said they forsook it all. I don't see where they went and changed those fish in for money. I don't see that. As a matter of fact, they just said, I don't know who they gave them to. They might have given them to the men that fished with them or their family or whatever. Y'all just take our boats. We don't need them anymore. They certainly had a financial interest in those ships. I mean, they built them or they bought them or however they attained them. They had money and they had labor and they had lifetime. But can I tell you, their life was never that ordinary anymore. Things changed when they came and they found Jesus. Can I tell you, that's the way that he intends for those things to be for me and you. When you come to him, it's changed. As I said, Isaiah, when he saw, he said, I saw the Lord. He said, I saw him, and I realized how sorry and low down and worthless I was. He said, he sent an angel, and he touched my lips, and he put a word in my mouth, and I'm able to preach. Amen. Amen. Hey, John was able to get up off the Isle of Patmos when he fell before him, and he saw, and then he began to write down. Jesus said, I want you to write something. I want you to tell everybody what you're about to see. And he recorded for us those things about the glories of the things that are about to happen in this old rugged world. Amen. His life was never the same. And I'll tell you, Peter did not have a clue. Well, as a matter of fact, what did you just see with me? As we read verses 1 through 11, do you ever see the name Peter very much unless it's associated with that Simon? The only time I see it's verse number 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, and I believe the rest of it, you see, he's Simon. He said, I'm a sinful man. That's him. That's the old man. But there's a change about to come on the scene. Amen? Why? Because, man, that old life, that way that he was, those things in his family, those things that he is living for, as I say, all that ordinary stuff was changed. And it said, and they followed him. They forsook all, and they followed him. Amen? He made a dramatic and a drastic difference in the lives of some few simple fishermen. I was reading something on this, and one of the writers said this, perhaps, we don't absolutely know. He said, maybe up to 7 of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and then some discussion ensued, and I didn't read a whole lot of it, but, you know, why Jesus might have picked fishermen. You know why? Well, you can see through their lives that they had to be persistent. They had to face some adversities. They had to be tough. They had to be able to deal with failure and rejection in them days when they didn't catch very much and there wasn't very much. Hey, there was a lot of and Jesus had them as his disciples. Guess what? He didn't have the learned. He didn't have the educated. He didn't have the wealthy. He had those that lived some very ordinary life and ordinary days. But when he came by, he changed them. He changed them. Even Matthew. You know what Matthew did? He put up a sign that said, the tax office is closed and I'm following Jesus. Amen? Hey, I'm just telling you. And you think, well, I just don't know if I could do it. Sure, you could do it. If you'd just get willing to give up you and take on him, thank God you and I can do and find out, hey, like Peter did, the Lord is still in control. He's still in control of everything. I mean, even as you go on through, as Peter, you know, he's got his ups and his downs and ups and his downs and his problems, and he still had trouble believing some things, didn't he? But he comes to a point, and he comes to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, there's people out here talking. They said, we're not paying the temple tax like we ought to. And Jesus said, well, let me just tell you, those that belong to the king don't have to pay taxes, do they? He said, well, no, if we belong to the king, we don't have to pay taxes. He said, well, just so we won't offend anybody. He said, you go down, throw a hook in the water. Amen. And the first fish that you catch, drag him up. And let's see what we got. He caught that fish. They opened his mouth. And there's enough money in there to pay all the taxes. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, he's still in control. Is he in control of your life tonight? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something, if you would, this evening.